This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Over turning, we hear this loud explosion, and it's like within a span of 5 seconds, all of the oxygen masks deployed. And then just a few seconds later, another explosion happened, and it was a window that just completely exploded.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, and boy, you could just hear Marty Martinez, and he was the passenger who was so close to that woman who was injured in that horrific Southwest accident where they had to make an emergency landing in Philadelphia. It was a plane that was going from LaGuardia Airport in New York to Dallas, and it was a Southwest plane, and that's where we start, because I like to say that America Tonight is all about the crossroads of what we're talking about, and everybody's talking about, can you imagine, where should you sit on a plane? Can you imagine that happening? And the latest is two pilots of the Southwest airplane that made that emergency landing said their hearts were heavy. Captain Jamie Joe Schultz and First Officer Darren Elzor issued a statement through the airline. They did that late on Wednesday. They say they appreciate the outpouring of support they received from the public and their coworkers, and they feel awful for one family's loss. An engine on the plane blew apart on Tuesday, just completely showered the aircraft that they were flying with debris and shattered a window, and a woman sitting next to the window was partially blown out of it, and she later died. So the FAA announced Wednesday they're going to order inspections on engine fan blades, like the one that snapped off and triggered the accident. And Marty Martinez, who you heard at the top, was heading home to Dallas on board that Southwest flight when he heard, as he described and you heard there, the two explosions. And of course, the oxygen mass dropped, and he paid for internet access because of how frightened he was. He pulled up Facebook and began recording because he figured that might be his farewell. So I love the fact that they're going to order inspections on these blades, because what other time bombs are going on out there? And just officially, the Philadelphia medical examiner said the woman was killed when she, you know, was partially blown out, because she died of blunt impact trauma to her head, neck, and torso. And they ruled her death accidental. Jennifer Worden was her name, and she was killed, and seven others were injured, and the engine blew at 30,000 feet. You know, you get hit by shrapnel, so really crazy. And the woman was wearing a seatbelt sitting next to the window, but imagine the pull of that, and they're still trying to figure out how did the window come out of the plane? How did that happen and all of that, debris? So the plane from New York to Dallas landed in, like I said, Philadelphia. And I'll tell you what, I said this before, but you got to give those pilots credit for what they were able to do, because they calmly did what they're supposed to do, and they got that plane down when that happened. And it had to be frightening for the people who were close by, but it had to be frightening for everybody on the plane, frankly, because let's face it, you really don't know where that's going to go. I mean, you really don't know. That's the bottom line. You have no idea of, are you going to get out of this plane or not. All right, on a political note, it's interesting, there's been a lot written about this. In fact, I picked up the Wall Street Journal late in the day, and I saw the headline where former prosecutor Jay Goldberg said he cautioned the president that his personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, could be compelled to testify if he's compelled to testify against the president. Of course, we're talking about the whole Stormy Daniels situation, and Stormy Daniels saying there's mentioning about suing and not stopping, and this is not going to go away easily anytime soon. And if he is compelled to testify, there, of course, is the chance that he would, because there's where that whole attorney-client privilege changes. And we'll see how far that goes. I mean, it's a mystery, I think. I've talked to enough attorneys who feel, you know, this really could, there could be more to this. There could, in other words, this could be pressed all the way. And that's how the court system works. Sometimes it's thrown out and sometimes it's not. And I think this is why in the Stormy Daniels case, the Stormy Daniels lawyer is saying he might just sue the president, because there's all those different angles and people to go after. And I think that this is what's going to happen here. He's a very vocal attorney. He's been on a lot of shows. His name is Michael Avenatti. And Michael Avenatti is saying that, you know, we're going to amend our complaint. We're looking at doing that, a defamation claim directly against the president. What's interesting about this is the defamation claim would be over a tweet that Trump said on Wednesday morning regarding a sketch of a man that Daniels claims threatened her. A sketch years later, what Trump tweeted the president, he said, a sketch years later about a non-existent man, a total con job, playing the fake news media for fools. Daniels says that took place in 2011 after she sold her story about the alleged encounter with Trump to a magazine for $15,000. So he's saying it was fake, tweeted out, whatever. There's the argument over the agreement and whether she signed it or not, selling stories. You know, I mean, this is just a crazy wild circus. And it's, I guarantee it's not going to just be swept under the rug, but legally, what happens to it? Legally, that's the key. Where does it go? Does it go, you know, does it go anywhere, actually? That's the bottom line on that. Or does it just go through the court system slowly, grinding slowly, and then all of a sudden it creeps back up? Could do that. Could happen. How about this? And because I was just here in New York, and that's where I'm broadcasting from, that's where you're hearing me, but, or at least this is coming from New York, I happened to see this, and I thought, oh, this is just perfect because this is where I am. And maybe it's the population thing, but they're saying new viruses and superbugs are being found in a study of New York house mice. So they've done this from low-rent studios to penthouse suites. It's been a year-long kind of assessment of the residential population. They found that a lot of the rodents carry previously unseen viruses as well as bacteria capable of causing life-threatening human illness. Boy, when I made it over that bridge from New York to New Jersey, whew, who knew what danger I was in with these mice and how they were infected. Because they say mouse droppings contain the bacteria that are difficult to treat with common antibiotics. And they did a couple of studies at Columbia University and Mailman School of Public Health specifically, and they say contaminated areas have to be thoroughly cleaned and contaminated food should be discarded. Whoa. Alright, hang with us. Much more coming your way in just a moment.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may
allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customers. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Police, 363, how may I help you?
Hi, I have 2 gentlemen on my cafe that are refusing to make a purchase or leave. I'm at the Starbucks at 18th and Spruce.
All right, please put me on as soon as possible.
Thank you.
All right, you just heard the 911 call from the Starbucks incident in Philadelphia. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. America Tonight as we continue. This was certainly a story that got a lot of play. Starbucks actually is closing its stores and corporate offices on May 29th for company-wide racial bias training is what they're calling it. And this comes in response to those public protests and calls to boycott the coffee chain after the arrest of these 2 African-American guys who were at this Philly store last week. The store manager jumped on 911 when they refused to leave after trying to use the store's restroom without making any kind of a purchase. And Howard Schultz, who, of course, is the founder of Starbucks, sat down with CBS this morning's co-host Gail King and talked about how they're handling. He said he was embarrassed and ashamed and said he thinks what occurred was reprehensible at every level and says, I take it personally, as everyone in our company does, because we're committed to making it right, and that's why we're doing something significant with our training and trying to transform the way we do business. He says it's going to cost millions of dollars, but I've always viewed this, and this is what he told her, and things like this is not an expense but an investment in our people and our company, and we're better than this. So he said he's interested in sitting down with the 2 men who were arrested. He thinks it's an opportunity for reconciliation. And he says, there's no doubt in my mind the reason that the police were called was because they were African American. And he said, that's not who we are. So does it go anywhere else? In other words, does this become something that becomes some kind of a suit? I definitely believe what Howard Schultz is saying, and he is putting his money where his mouth is by having the training. So when I look at it from that point of view, gosh, you'd have to say you got to give him credit. And certainly he is trying to, you know, he's trying to head off what could absolutely happen in the, you know, happen in the future, and doesn't want to see that happen in the future. So bravo, right? All right, on another note, a couple of other quick odds and ends. The, you know, this is kind of interesting, but there's been a lot of conversation about Nikki Haley, and I've just had this conversation with somebody in Washington, but Nikki Haley's public kind of push-pull spat, if you will, with the White House has underscored the president's world obsession about the political ambitions of the people in the president's stratosphere. So Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, raised a few eyebrows when she hit back at the White House after Larry Kudlow accused her of being confused when she prematurely announced new sanctions against Moscow on Sunday. He said, with all due respect, I don't get confused. That was her. She said, I don't, you know, she called an example of resolve from a strong female leader and boos from others who accused her of disloyalty for going after one of Trump's newest hand-picked aides. Haley is widely seen as a future GOP star. She hasn't said anything significant lately about running for higher office, but there is been that conversation that that's a possibility. So frustration is certainly building there, and we've seen that before with, you know, various members of this White House, or not White House, but various members of this regime, I'll call it. So Kudlow, you know, is not backing down from that, and I don't know, this kind of, you know, at the age of 46, I think her future in politics goes beyond this presidency, and the support for now, the support for sure is there for Nikki Haley, I think so. And it's just the latest of the, you know, plethora of what ends up being conversation, I guess, in D.C., probably much more than in your neck of the woods or my neck of the woods. And that's what I say. How much of it are we talking about? You know, we talk about what affects our neighborhoods, what affects our wallets, and not so much the political ambitions of everybody in D.C. and the sniping that happens back and forth. It can make for intriguing conversation, but I honestly don't think that we're over the top concerned about that, except for that, you know, there sort of needs to be a lid on some of the nonsense that goes on. That's for certain. And how about oil, oil, oil? Oil's at its highest price. It soared 2.9% to a 3-year high. If you've been watching crude, it's at $68.47. So oil prices rising with the barrel topping that, and futures extended gains after some of the weekly government data showed that U.S. crude stockpiles fell by 1.1 million barrels. I always say, watch where we're going economically by watching what's happening in the housing industry, of course, and what's happening with oil, and that's pretty big news. I mean, there is some buzz in your backyard. It's significant if we keep seeing it go higher, especially, but that's a pretty nice bounce for oil, and that kind of keeps things going, keeps things pumping, if you know what I mean. And that's what we're talking about with the stock piles and whatnot. So that it's wild to see where this wild swings take place. And again, it's about that barrel. Just look at the price and see what happens when it really goes low, and then see what happens when it really goes high. And of course, you sort of want it somewhere in the middle, honestly, as a consumer. If you're in an automobile that's definitely sucking up the gasoline, because that's what affects us, is how much are you in the car and how many times are you filling it up and what is the price of gas. And the high level mark seems to be you get to $4 a gallon and people start to really freak out about that. They really start to freak out about that. Here's something that's, I think, really interesting, because you know I'm into space. If you've listened to this show at all for any length of time, it's just fascinating to me. If I had the opportunity to go into space, would I want to? I don't know. But it's fascinating to me. So SpaceX is planning to open up shop at the Port of Los Angeles, where they're going to work on research, design, and development of their Mars rocket. And they said that there's a tentative lease agreement that would allow SpaceX to take over a dormant building at the port, and that could bring maybe 700 jobs into the area. So that's a big deal, obviously, and it's expected to be approved, no problem, by the Harbor Commission on Thursday. SpaceX won't have to pay rent for the facility for more than 2 decades, and they'll get more than $40 million in rent credits, they say. This is kind of interesting, for upgrading where they are, which has been vacant since, think about this, 2005. The company doesn't get any subsidies from the city. So the big Falcon rocket is at the heart of CEO Elon Musk's plan to settle a colony of humans on Mars. That makes me want to watch that movie, Mars, that Matt Damon's in. But he said this for a long time, so certainly it is no secret that this was his desire. And this guy, man, he makes magic happen. So, you know, who knows? And on this show, we're going to bring back some of the financial cool stuff that we've talked about in the past. And I think part of that is because I happened to see this poll that said 26% of consumers with credit card debt admit they're embarrassed by their debt because they spend way above their means. Geez, raise your hand if you spend way above your means. I think a lot of people fall into that category. And it's easy to do, right? Because you're out, you're feeling good, or you're an entrepreneur, you feel like money's coming in, or you had overtime and then they suddenly cut overtime when you work for a company. I know many of you have called the show in the past and complained about that and said, wow, you know, we were living on so much of that overtime, and then the overtime goes away and you can't make it up, and it's pretty tough when you're in that boat. It's tough to row, let me tell you. All right, thanks as always for paying attention to me and this show, America Tonight. We're going to boot it to the other side, so stay with us.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, for the 6th annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, June 1st through the 4th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact. This amazing weekend offers more than 50 lectures, 40 workshops, 8 exciting panels, and special events. Contact in the Desert features leading experts, including me, George Norrie, Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton-Howe, Michael Tellinger, Eric Von Doniken, Corey Good, Doc Wallach, and many more important researchers and scientists in the field. With a breaking New York Times story, disclosure of the Pentagon's mysterious UFO program, Contact in the Desert is the place to go to see the inside track. Join us at contactinthedesert.com or call 760-660-8484. That's contactinthedesert.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
So we have Kevin Armstrong, who is an author, speaker, business advisor, and disruptor. I love that.
Disruptor.
That's my favorite title of all. This is funny. It's great. And it's interesting because he's got a book out called The Miracle Manager, Why True Leaders Rarely Make Great Managers. Nice. What do you think of that? I think that's kind of true.
Kevin, thanks for joining us. And I think you're a radical or a disruptor by saying true leaders rarely make great managers. What's the backstory on this?
Well, the backstory, I guess, I work with a lot of groups of entrepreneurial owners. I work exclusively with business owners. And in 2005, I came into a meeting, and it had just been announced that Wayne Gretzky had been made the coach of the Phoenix Coyotes. And I just had a feeling, and I said, you know, it's not going to work.
And are you a hockey fan, by the way?
To some extent, I'm a hockey fan, yeah. I mean, I'm a sports fan.
Okay.
I find it intriguing.
Kate, are you interested in sports at all?
Yeah, I do a show on NBC Sports Radio on the network, so we've had that in common. So this is good, right up at the top here.
So Wayne Gretzky goes from being a leader on the ice to a leader, or I guess a manager in the business office. You think it's not going to work. Why not?
Because, you know, in business, which is a performance activity, you know, we all keep witnessing where we take people who are really good at what they do. And, you know, they're leaders in what they do. And then we decide to make them managers. And when you sit back and, you know, you ask yourself, what's the definition of a leader and a manager? The definition of a leader is really confusing because the best authors who write about it, the best schools, business schools, including Harvard, that teach it, and everybody else that talks about it in terms of teaching this concept of leadership, and people that quote it all the time, they're confused. And it confuses us in terms of what a leader is. To me, a leader is somebody who stands up, looks to the future, and does the right thing. Right? They're really good at what they do. You know, one of the things that kills me is we confuse young people with this concept of what leadership is. Mm. I talked to high school kids. I just talked to a group last week, and they get it really, you know, they don't have any problem with that, right? They get it right away.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Kevin. So first of all, I want to ask to make sure I understand what you're saying. What you're really saying is if we look at the definition of the word leader and the definition of manager,
right,
they should be two different things as part of what you're saying, right?
Right. And so a leader stands up, looks to the future, and does the right thing, and a manager gets things done efficiently and effectively through others.
Well, and so where I was going with that is, you know, it's easy to focus on the manager part of this. In fact, you have this great quote, everybody has had a bad manager. Many of us have never had a great manager. We're going to get to that quote because I think that's really important. But I think it's also important to think about the terrible thing we do to leaders by forcing them into the management role. I would imagine that what we're basically doing is breaking their legs of leadership.
That's pretty much it, right? It's like sending a duck to eagle school.
So that's the question. So what truly is the definition of a leader? And you said it, they look to the future. But beyond that, isn't it about assembling the right people, the right team?
No.
No, not at all.
I mean, you know, when you look to go do a Google search on the top leaders of all time, right, and you will get people like Martin Luther King and my favorite's Rosa Parks, right, because here's a domestic worker that's humble. She wasn't trying to influence anybody. She just got on a bus. And she sat in the last row of the white people's section at the front of the bus. I'm ashamed to say this is in my lifetime. And what happened was, apparently there was seats in front of her that were empty, but, you know, a white couple walked up to her and said, you know, you're in our seat. To which she responded, I'm not getting up. And there's lots of seats here for you, right? And the bus driver stopped the bus and said, Rosa, you're going to get arrested if you don't get out of that seat. And she said, no. You know, and so, you know, I ask people all the time, is that leadership? And my favorite question now for people is, you know, when you look at Martin Luther King or Gandhi, right, or Rosa Parks, or these types of, or Mandela, right, were they leaders before they went into jail or were they leaders when they came out?
That's a great question. What kind of answers do you get?
Well, I was golfing with a Marine on Saturday, right? And he said, well, I think the prison sentence tempered them. So they were leaders when they came out. But that was the first time I ever heard that answer, right? I mean, the fact of the matter is it was Rosa Parks' behavior of saying enough is enough, and I don't even care if I'm breaking a law. And actually, this Marine said on Saturday, well, that was a bad law. And I said, it wasn't a bad law then. Right. In retrospect, it's an embarrassing law, right? But the fact is that leaders look to the future and they go, I'm going to do the right thing here. And, you know, when you ask people, do you think that the black people at the back of the bus were going, all right, Rosa, you know, give it to the man, right?
They were terrified.
They were terrified. They were saying, Rosa, get your butt back here, right? Like, that's what they were saying. And so, you know, Rosa didn't know that she was going to lose her job the next day. She didn't know that her husband wasn't going to talk to her for 6 months. And this is what great leaders do. But that big question is, were they a leader before they went into jail, or were they a leader when they came out? And if they never came out of jail, how many people did they influence? Like, we hear all this stuff about leadership in terms of influencing people, right? And that's not, a good coach influences people. A good coach or a good manager, you know, they motivate people. But leaders, they don't care who's beside them or behind them. It just turns out we start following them because we go, hey, we trust this person. Simon Sinek says it, right? We trust this person because, you know, they're consistent.
So you actually write and speak about something called a mana coach. And we're talking with Kevin Armstrong. He's an author, speaker, business advisor, and disruptor. And you can hear the disruption in everything he's saying. His book is The Miracle Manager, Why True Leaders Rarely Make Great Managers, which is pretty darn disruptive. So what is this thing that you write and speak about called a mana coach?
A mana coach is a great manager, right? And it's not manager and leader that's synonymous or meaning the same thing, right? It's manager and coach or director. When you ask people, you know, give me the characteristics of, think of somebody who is a great coach for you on a team or a great manager at work or a great director if you're in a play or in a symphony orchestra, right? You know, tell me what their characteristics are because those are synonymous. And, you know, you get things like, well, they got people. They really get people, right? They're empathetic. They're perceptive. They have a deep sense of energy towards others. They get themselves, right? You have to have self-awareness to understand how you're affecting others. You have to have the courage to converse, you know, to talk about the tough issues with people because there's this line between you and the people you coach, and they have to know that if they're not performing, they won't be there, or if they're not, you know, acting appropriately, they won't be there.
So,
you
a man a coach?
I am not, because one of the characteristics of a great manager or coach is to be organized. And you look at all the great coaches of the time, they're always going over their notes, they're always going over their stuff, and they have their thoughts organized, right? And another reason is because my ego, you know, a good coach, a good manager, when you think of that person, always put you first. They always put their teammates in front of them. Their ego is off to the side. I have a huge ego, and I put me first, right? And so those are not good characteristics for a person who wants to manage others. In fact, I know I'm a very flawed individual, right? And anytime somebody says they've seen a good therapist, I go see that therapist and say, hey, do your thing, right? Figure me out.
Fix me.
And a few years ago, I had this coach, a business coach, and I was managing, you know, six or seven people in an organization where we had about 100 business owners that we were looking after. And he said, you really don't like managing people. And I said, you know what? I think you're right. I don't. He goes, you like being at the front of the room. You like being in charge, right? And you know, after that discussion, that was another thing that just firmed up the fact that I'm not a good manager. I'm not a mana coach.
Yeah. Kevin, I wanted to make sure we get the website in because we're running short on time. TheMiracleManager.com. And having said that you're not good at this, do you think, and you seeking out help, because you say someone says they have a good therapist, you go to them. Do you think everybody needs a mentor, a coach, or whatever?
Oh, I think the answer is, you know, certainly. I mean, you know, if you look at anybody or anybody that's achieved anything, they always had a mentor. Right, they always had somebody guiding them,
or a man a coach,
right? Somebody could, if you take a golf lesson and that golf teacher is demonstrating half the lesson, and then when you grab the club, he's got you thinking about 9 or 10 different things, and your knees are shaking. You've got the wrong person, right?
Right.
The good coach just sits back and looks at you and says, "Here, try this one thing. Loosen your hands, because everything has to be loose if your hands are loose, you know." And then things get better. Then you've got the right person.
Yeah. Hey, we're wrapping up, so we got to tell. We've got to find this book. Where can we get a copy of your book?
It's on Amazon. That's probably the best place to look for it. But it's in Borders, and if you do a search on it, Kevin G. Armstrong. And then the Forbes blogs. I'm a Forbes author, so if you go to Forbes, Kevin G. Armstrong, you'll see a couple of blogs written on it, and you can find it there.
And don't be shy about sending an anonymous copy to your manager.
Exactly. Or really, if you want to become it, you know, that's a great point. But, you know, if you really are passionate about coaching people or managing people, I think it's a good read.
Kevin Armstrong, thanks so much for joining us on Forbes Books at Bedtime.
TheMiracleManager.com.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Katie.
form is confusing. But whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
You have been lied to. Generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Star Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Here on America Tonight, of course, over the years, we certainly have done that. I just had a couple of friends who went to Cuba, and boy, interesting stories they shared. In fact, one of them will join us probably next week or the week after that. But joining us right now, he's in our virtual green room, Keith Bolander. He's a freelance journalist, and he's the author of Voices from the Other Side, an oral history of terrorism against Cuba. Keith, thanks for popping on the show.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So now we see this big switch, the death of Fidel Castro, Raul Castro, now the leader of Cuba, but essentially he was leading Cuba, and I think people forget that or just don't process that information, I guess. So I don't see much of a change of what's happened in the past, but I could be wrong. You're steeped in this, so let's start there. What do you think happens as far as Cuba itself and a new regime?
Well, Fidel stepped down in 2006 and handed power over to his brother Raul. Since then, there's been substantial economic reforms take place under Raul's leadership. His style is quite different than Fidel's. There's been a great deal of changes and economic reforms in the last 5 years, opening up private businesses, allowing Cubans to sell, buy homes, cars. And then the main thing that's happened under Raul is the normalization process that started 2 years ago, almost to the day, 2 years ago, that President Obama and Raul Castro announced intentions of normalizing relations. So I think there's been dramatic and substantial changes under Raul.
All right, so besides the economic, it's not on the other side of what's happening to the people of Cuba. Obviously, if they're able to buy houses and cars, that is significantly different than what has been pretty much the law of the land before he took power. So do you think that will just continue to go the same way? I mean, they'll just continue to see that. He says he's going to step down in, what, 2018, and maybe they have a much more democratic kind of government?
Well, yeah, he is stepping down in 2018, and there are Cuban officials ready to take over. I think you'll see the process, the economic reforms continue. The political system is their own to decide how they want to do it. What the problem may be is if President-elect Trump decides to rescind the process, that's going to harm the relations between the two countries, and it's certainly going to retrench Cuba's position, and it may have an effect on the economic reforms as well.
What do you think Trump will do? Because obviously this is a big changing of the guard for us here in the United States, and that could, as you say, change U.S.-Cuba relations.
Yeah, I'm quite concerned about it. He's already named an advisor, Mauricio Claver Corón, who is extremely anti-Cuban, who's a Cuban-American born in the United States. So if President-elect Trump listens to him, then I think you're going to see the possibility of all the executive orders that President Obama accomplished to proceed with the normalization process. I think you may see President-elect Trump rescind all that. And that's a bad thing. I mean, that's going to be harmful for both the United States and Cuba. There's a lot of American businesses already involved in Cuba, Carnival Cruise Lines, Marriott Hotels. And if President-elect Trump rescinds those, it's going to harm them. The main thing is, though, the embargo, the blockade against Cuba, and the final travel restrictions for Americans coming to visit Cuba are still in the hands of Congress. So even if President Trump proceeds with the process, doesn't rescind it, the embargo still has to be ended under congressional acts.
Yeah, and what do you say to the people who say, how can we do that? We shouldn't lift that because of what's really still happening to the people. See, that's still the argument that, okay, you've seen these economic reforms, but you still have hardliners that are Cuban Americans who say, no way, there's not as much change as you think. What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's been the position for the last 55 years since the Triumphant Revolution. Their position has always been not to engage with Cuba. Their position is they want to harm the Cuban people economically to the extent that they'll rise up and overthrow their old government. Fortunately, they're becoming a smaller and smaller amount of Cuban Americans. The majority of Cuban Americans now want to engage with Cuba, want to normalize relations. It's the first generation exiles and some really hardliners in Congress, like Marco Rubio and Ileana Rosletnin, who want to end the normalization process, who want to go back to the Cold War days, and basically just want to continue to punish the Cuban people economically for their support of their own government.
And, you know, it's interesting. So the younger people in Cuba, there's a lot of things in that are kind of at stake here. I saw, I don't know who it was, who took television cameras in maybe a year ago. Maybe it was 60 Minutes or some other national network that went in. And you know this, still, even with the changes, there's not the whole advancement with Internet, with so much more that obviously we have here in the United States. If the lanes were to remain open and there was more of this enterprise and this exchange, do you think all of that would change?
Well, yeah. I mean, Cuba's a third world developing country that's under embargo, and so there is restrictions for legitimate reasons why the country isn't as integrated with the Internet as a first world country like the United States or Canada. The process, if it continues, if the normalization process continues, you're going to have more advances, more opportunities for individual Cubans to explore the economic reforms that are taking place. The Cuban government will be more relaxed. You'll have more reforms on their part. So it's really, really important that the process continues, and hopefully Donald Trump, the businessman, will understand that and not listen to the voices that want to end the process.
Yeah, and if that happens, do you think we see an end to people getting on rafts and trying to find their way to the United States, and more possibilities for Cubans to immigrate to the United States legally?
Well, it depends if President-elect Trump, what he decides to do with the Cuban Adjustment Act. the Axis is the one that induces Cubans to leave Cuba and get on raft and to get into the United States, because as soon as they touch foot on United States soil, the Cuban Adjustment Act kicks in and they get all sorts of benefits.
Yeah.
So there's huge incentive to get into the United States. Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, has actually come out against the Cuban Adjustment Act. He does want to end it because he sees it as favoring one group of immigrants as opposed to the other. The Cubans are leaving for economic reasons. They're not leaving for political reasons. And the Cuban government wants to end the Cuban Adjustment Act because they want it to end because they see it as incentives for Cubans to take dangerous risks on rafts or spend thousands and thousands of dollars for others to try and get them into the United States. So it'll be really interesting in the first 3 or 4 months of the president-elect's administration to see what he does with the process and see if he does end the Cuban Adjustment Act. Now, if he indicates that he is going to end the Cuban Adjustment Act, you may see thousands of Cubans trying to get into the United States before it does end, simply to gain all these benefits that no other group of immigrants do get.
Have you ever been to Cuba?
About 100 times in the last 100 years.
I knew it. 100 times.
My wife's Cuban. I've lived in Cuba. I have family in Cuba. Yeah, I have a great connection with the country.
Wow. What would you tell people about Cuba?
If I'm talking to Americans, which I love to talk to Americans about Cuba, I will tell them first and foremost, go down now. See Cuba now. See for yourself the good, the bad, the indifferent. Talk to the Cuban people, and they will talk to you about everything, including all the things that are right about their society and all the things that are wrong about their society. And since President Obama started the normalization process, there have been hundreds of thousands of Americans going down to Cuba. In fact, you cannot get a hotel room in Havana right now for months because it's all booked with Americans. That's the biggest thing. For 50 years, the media, the political elite in the United States has portrayed Cuba in a certain way, mostly negative. I always tell people, go down, see for yourself, and then come back and make up your own mind. So I would highly recommend anyone who's thinking of going to Cuba, do it now.
Yeah, great advice. What's the best thing about that culture that you found? Because you've explored it more than anyone that I know.
The people. Absolutely the people. I love the cigars. I love the rum. I love the fun. But it's the people. They're genuinely interested in talking to you. They're genuinely interested in exchanging ideas and talking about their society because it's been so misrepresented. And I started going down to Cuba as a tourist and came back time and time again to get to know the people more. That led me to the research on the first book and the second book. I have so many people, so many friends, so many strangers when I talk to them about Cuba. They come up to me and say, yeah, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I wasn't sure about the people. I went down there, interacted with the people on whatever level, and continued to go to Cuba simply because the people are so, it's quite unique. They're quite amazing people. Despite all the hardships they've gone through, the people of Cuba itself are the main attraction to go down to the country now.
All right, great stuff. Keith Olander, thanks so much. You can pick up the book, I'm assuming, at Amazon?
Absolutely.
All right, pick it up at Amazon. Keith, thank you.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Trip together, just trip too long. I guess you never noticed what went wrong.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.